So recently, we had a flying visit to Canberra on our way to Sydney, and it was getting late, and I wish I had time to do a tour of Parliament House, but I didn't. So we drove to Parliament House, and I couldn't be bothered parking a mile away and walking up just so I could take a photo. So I'm driving around. I said to Melissa, here's the camera. Just take some photos as we drive past. And then we started to do a lap. All of a sudden, the Australian Federal Police pulled up beside me and just looking in the car. So I probably looked pretty suspicious on the cameras. They were watching, I tell you. So we did a lap around. They didn't pull me up anyway. I mustn't have looked like a terrorist. So then we did a lap around Parliament House. And give me a wave if you've ever been to Parliament House. Yeah. It is huge. It's a huge complex. And it's when you go and go to places and visit things that they become more real to you. To think that, you know, the politicians make the political decisions in that place that affect Australia. And I really want to encourage you, pray for godly men and women to lead our country, to stand for godliness and integrity in that place. Earlier, I went to the War Memorial. If we could have that first slide, thanks, Patrick, and then hopefully I can run it from then. So it was the strangest thing, because the only time I'd ever been to Canberra when I was a little kid, and all I can remember about Canberra was the huge roundabouts, and that weekend I wet the bed. So I must have been pretty young. Maybe we could scrub that from live streaming. Anyway, so I'm driving up to the War Memorial. Haven't been to Canberra for like 50 years. And I see the dome. And all of a sudden, as soon as I see that, it's like I get all emotional and want to start crying. It was the weirdest thing. And so I pulled in and went in. And this is the courtyard where they have a service every day at 5 to 5. And there was three schools there. There was Mount Evelyn and another school from Melbourne were there. And that's just great for these kids to be able to go on a tour through there, through the museum. And in that service, they talked about a story of one of the servicemen. There's over 102,000 servicemen and women that have died, and their names are on the walls all around those hallways with poppies. They talked about one young man who was actually... he was discharged from the army because he was insane. And then later on, he actually went back into the army, and they figured out that he actually had depression, or whatever they called it back then. So not only was he going through the battlefields, he had a battle going on in his mind. And the sad thing is, he was actually carrying a stretcher with three other guys, and a shell came and hit the stretcher, and the five of them went. And that was his story that they shared on that day. But just to be somewhere and experience that, it makes it real and come alive. And then as I was walking through the hallways, no, I didn't go there. Maybe we could just go to the next slide. They recreated a lot of the battle scenes, and they made them look so real. And it sort of just gives you an incredible appreciation, particularly since we've just had Anzac Day, of what these men and women went through so that we could live in relative peace. And the next one, from the balcony, you look down and you see Parliament House, and it just gives you a real sense of it's an important place. It's where decisions are made and impacts our nation. So I really encourage you to be praying for Scott Morrison, praying for everything that goes on in Canberra, for the decisions that are made. So I want to talk to you about spiritual battles. There's been a lot of because of Anzac Day and everything that's going on in the last couple of weeks, a lot of emphasis on remembering what people have done for us and the battles that went on and the heroics and all those things, which are so important for us to remember. And I know many of you went to ceremonies and paid respect, and that's very, very important. But I want to talk to you this morning about spiritual battle. And the thing about spiritual battle is often we can't see it. It's not like a physical battle where, you know, if there's a German tank coming towards you or there's a Japanese bomber coming flying over the top of you, you can see that. You can see the enemy. You know exactly what's happening. These days, it's hard to know what's happening because the enemy could just be someone that just walks into a place with a backpack on or drives a vehicle into a crowd. It's a different kind of enemy. And when it comes to a spiritual battle, often we've got to distinguish that the battle is not with people. It's not with flesh and blood. It's a spiritual thing. And we don't see that. Or often we have glimpses into it, but it's not what we naturally see around about us. It's a different type of battle. But be rest assured, there's a battle going on. There's an enemy that wants to take you out. And there's a God that has a plan and a purpose for your life. And there's a struggle going on. And there'll be times in your life, there'll be seasons where you really feel that there's a battle, there's a struggle, and you notice it more than other times. And there can be attacks that come against you or your family or your health or your mind. But we need to understand that there's a battle going on. It's a spiritual battle. And we can't be ignorant of it. So I want to look at 8 quick points about things that can help us in a spiritual battle. And then I really feel at the end of that the Lord's laid upon my heart, we're going to do some specific praying. So the first one is resist Satan by submitting to God. So you're in a spiritual battle, and there's an enemy, Satan, and his plan and his purpose is to kill, steal, and destroy your life. He wants to trash your life. He wants to take you out. That's his ultimate purpose. Now, you can't resist him on your own. If you try and resist him in your own strength, in your own will, you have no power. You have no authority. And we saw that when Paul was going around, he was casting out demons, and then some guy decides, well, if Paul can do it, I can do it. And he tried to do it, and the demons just come and beat him up because he didn't know Jesus. He had no authority. He tried to do something, just a copycat, well, you know, in his own strength. Didn't work. So in order to resist Satan, you need to submit to God. You need to have a relationship with God. James 4:7, submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will what? He will flee from you. Okay? So what we need to understand is that this is the first and the basic point is if you've got stuff coming against you, the way you fight back from that is you submit to God. So you need to have a relationship with God. You need to have Jesus in your heart. You need to understand who you are in Christ and the authority that he has given you. So that when you're in a spiritual battle and this attack comes, you know who you are, you know what your weapons are, and you have authority to stand against that. Amen? Okay, so that's the first one. The second one is protect yourself with the sword of the Spirit and the armor of God. I'd encourage you to read Ephesians 6:10 on to the end of the chapter, but we're just going to look at a couple of verses here. A final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in heavenly places. And it goes on for the rest of the chapter. It's talking about that the spiritual armor that you can put on to protect yourself, the shield of faith and the belt of truth. And I encourage you to read that. But it talks about that in the point there is protect yourself. God gives us tools, weapons to protect ourselves. It's important that you have a relationship with Jesus, but you understand what's available to you to protect yourself in this world, this fallen world that we live in. Melissa and I had the opportunity recently, a family invited us to go to their home. And over the past few years, they'd had a number of events that were just bizarre. And it was just like the enemy attacking. And they wanted us to come and just pray for them and for their home for protection. So we had the privilege of going in and just praying for them as a family, praying through the rooms, speaking in tongues. God's going to do something amazing in that family, I believe. There's a change, there's a shift happening. We've got to understand what's available to us. What he has given us to protect ourselves. You wouldn't go into a physical battle and just leave yourself wide open. You protect yourself. You would be skilled. You would be armed. You would whatever. Recognize the enemy's schemes. To just ignore the enemy. It's not that we go looking for things and the enemy's under every rock. But you just be aware. You just be aware that this is real. It's going on. So protect yourself with all the tools, with all the weapons that he's given for you at your disposal. Number three, fight the enemy's temptations through the power of prayer. And in Matthew 18:18-19, it says, "Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you that if two or three on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven." There's power in prayer, amen. And there's one thing that, look, I've seen this, we've all talked about this, you know, you would probably know this, but there was a little thing that jumped out to me about prayer. It's talking about, because we can all pray on our own. We all have our own personal devotions and prayer life. But there's this thing that really jumped out at me. It says that if two or three, I felt the Holy Spirit just say to me, have a prayer partner. I want to encourage you. You can pray on your own and that's great. But there was something in here about having a prayer partner, having someone that you can pray with, that you agree together with. And there's power in that. It doesn't say, truly I tell you, that if you pray on your own, it doesn't say that. So there's something about if two or three of you agree, there's power in that. So I want to leave that with you. Think about there's power in having a prayer partner. In praying for things in your life. Number four, resist him by being self-controlled and alert. See, we actually have to do things. A lot of times we pray for God to do a miracle, and God, you just do it. You fix it. I don't want to have to do anything. I don't want to have to change. I don't want to have to put things in place. God, you do it all. And sometimes he does, and that's incredible and amazing. But what's our responsibility that we have with this? And in 1 Peter 5:8-9, it says, "Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith." Being self-controlled and alert. You know, the interesting thing about the scripture is the enemy prowls around like a roaring lion. He's not a roaring lion. He's like a roaring lion, which means he makes a lot of noise. He puts fear into people. He intimidates people. One of the greatest weapons that the enemy has is intimidation. And if you've ever been scared to death by something that was roaring at you or chasing you, and this fear come over you and it's like you couldn't move and you were frozen and you were so intimidated, and yet he has no power. Jesus has won the victory. He has taken the power that when Adam and Eve sinned and they gave it to Satan, that power has been stripped by him. And the way that we can know who we are in Christ is having Jesus in us. And then all of a sudden, all the noise that the enemy makes, all the attacks and all the things that he wants to bombard you in your mind and in situations in your life, you need to understand that the enemy's greatest tool is intimidation. And if he can get you into a place of fear, if he can get you into a place where you're frozen, if he can get you into a place where you don't understand who you are in Christ, and just bombard you with all the noise and all the intimidation. And I want you to understand today, he has no power over you. None at all. Jesus has broken that power. So when the intimidation comes, fight back. Fight back with the word. Fight back with the scriptures that you've been memorizing on the situation that you're facing. Fight back. He has no power. It's a roaring lion. It's like a roaring lion that's had all its teeth pulled out. And really, instead of it coming and attacking you, it's just probably going to come up and lick you. And you can pat it there, boy. Good boy. That's what it's like. It's just intimidation. All it is intimidation. Number five, fight back with the Spirit of God. It's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. You know what? There's times when you don't know what to pray, just pray in tongues. There's power in praying in tongues. It's powerful. It's a heavenly language that God has given to every believer. All you need to do is seek him, be baptized in the Holy Spirit, speak in other tongues. And it's a heavenly language. You're communicating with God and you're not understanding what you're praying, but you're praying in the Spirit. So the other day when walking in those rooms in that house, just praying in the Spirit, God, you know exactly what's going on in here. We break the power of the enemy. We pray that things would be turned around, just praying in the Spirit. Another mighty tool that he's given us. So fight back with the Spirit of God. Number six. Know you are a conqueror through the blood of Jesus, his authority, and the word of our testimony. Wow. Three more very powerful tools. And Revelation 12:11, and they conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they loved their lives. They loved not their lives even unto death. Know that you're a conqueror. If you're a conqueror today, give me a wave. If you want to be a conqueror, give me a wave. All right. It's got nothing to do with you. It's got nothing to do with how good you are, how strong you are, how holy you are. It's got nothing to do that you can do yourself. You accept Jesus Christ, and it's his holiness that comes in. It's his authority that comes over your life. It's all to do with him. And when you know that, you're more than a conqueror. You're not just a conqueror. You're more than a conqueror through the blood of Jesus. He paid the price for you. And in that, you have access to his authority, and the word of your testimony is proof of the power of God and overcoming in your life. Amen. Everyone here, if you've accepted Jesus in your life and the old life has gone and the new life has come, you have a testimony. And it's powerful. And you might be here thinking, well, my testimony is not like the jellyfish man. His was awesome. He died and he came back to life and he went to heaven and he saw this and he saw that. Mine's not like that. I don't really have a testimony. Well, you do. Even if your testimony is the most boring testimony in the world in your eyes, you have a testimony. Your testimony might be, well, I went to church as a kid and just loved God, and at some point I accepted him and So I don't really have a testimony. That's, wow, what a powerful testimony that is. That God saved you from going through a whole lot of muck and rubbish that lots of other people have had to experience. That's powerful. So wherever you've been, whatever you've done, whatever you haven't done, you have a powerful testimony if Jesus is Lord and Savior of your life. Amen. So understand that. And with that, however you're feeling, comes great power and authority. You're more than a conqueror. Amen? All right. Number seven. Number seven should be good because seven's a heavenly number. Make the enemy flee through the power of praise. Great example. Acts 16. Paul and Silas. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bonds were unfastened. There was a miracle that happened at midnight in the prison, in the cold, in the dark, to these guys that were chained up, could have been feeling so sad and sorry and hopeless and in despair and just trying to get some sleep. That's probably what they would have felt like. But did they do that? No. They were singing praise and hymns and spiritual songs. And because they did that, because of the authority that they knew that they had in Christ, a miracle happened and all their chains fell off. And then the story goes on how the jailer took them home and his whole household was saved and incredible things happening. Make the enemy flee through the power of praise. Now, the thing is, you might be facing a situation and it seems hopeless and you've prayed and nothing's happened. You know what? Right there, two things can happen. We can give up and it's like the enemy wins. Or we can keep pressing through. And usually when things seem hopeless, God can intervene and a miracle can happen. If you don't give up, if you don't despair. You know, some of the stories I've been hearing on the radio about the Anzacs and some of the battles, it was like they just faced incredible odds and they stood firm and they took that hill and it was just one small battle, but it made a difference to the whole war and lives were saved. And that's what I feel, you know, don't give up. There's power in praise. Worship, sing, put the CD on, go for a walk, have the iPod in your... whatever it is, there's power in praise and worship, amen? It's a powerful tool. And then number eight is trust God's power and protection over your life. Now, I'm going to be really honest here. Has it been times when it's like you're standing on God's promises, but you're not seeing the results that you want. And you actually question, God, what is going on? Have you ever been there? Have you ever done that? You just wish that every time, you know, you could just pray and God would come through and the whole situation would turn around. And a lot of times it's not like that. Sometimes there's that miracle that happens, but a lot of times it's just it's perseverance and it's going through the trial and that develops something within us, but we don't really like going through it at the time. I encourage you, stand upon the promises of God's word. Psalm 91, an incredible psalm. We're just going to look at a few verses here. And this is about trusting God's power and protection in your life. He who dwells in the shelter, the King James talks about the secret place of the Most High, will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the foulest snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and your rampart. And verse 11, for He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. Isn't it nice to know that in everything that happens in life, everything you go through, any battle that you face, that we can rest on the promises of God and understand that we can be under His wing and in His shelter and find rest and peace, whatever is going on? That's a great comfort. That really is. And the last slide I've got there. When we were on our cruise last month, one night they had this movie on. So Unbroken, The Path to Redemption. There was a movie a number of years ago called Unbroken. And it was all about Louis Zamperelli as a prisoner of war in Japan. And it was pretty violent. So we got out on our deck chairs one night with our little blankies. And they had the big screen. And we're watching this movie. And this is about when Louis comes home to America after the war. And he's got a huge battle to face because he's getting flashbacks of everything that's happened to him over there. And it's just like the enemy wanted to take him out. He couldn't do it over in Japan, but the enemy wanted to take him out. He was just crippled in his mind. It affected everything. And he had a choice to make, to try and battle through it in his own strength. And he was failing miserable. But his wife got saved. And Billy Graham actually makes an appearance. Well, not the real Billy Graham in this movie. So he had a choice to make. Is he going to battle the demons in his own mind, in his own strength? Or is he going to yield himself to a greater authority? And I'd love to tell you what happens, but I encourage you get the movie and watch it yourself. But this is what I'm talking about. There's a battle and we have a choice. And I pray today that your choice is that you have a relationship with Jesus and you allow His authority and every weapon that is at your disposal for Him to give you, that you take hold of that to resist the enemy and to live an overcoming life, because your life is a testimony to everyone round about you. Amen. I really felt this morning that we're going to pray for a certain group of people. Last year, we had a tremendous conference. And then that day, man, it all started happening. There was a murder over the road. There was a minister in our town die, and it was just bang, bang, bang. This year it's been different. It's like there's been, in a sense, some real struggles going on leading up to this conference. And I really believe that next week at the conference, you know, it's about community. It's about revival. It's about souls being saved. But I really feel part of that conference is about there's going to be a real refreshing for people. Particularly people that have been doing it tough, doing it hard. And I really felt today to pray for a specific group of people. And I actually want you to come out the front. I want to pray for our pastoral team. Because what happens in ministry is that often you're dealing with a lot of stuff. You just think about your own personal life. There's things that you go through personally, maybe with your immediate family and people that you know. So you all understand what it's like to go through things. Now, in ministry, you got to multiply that out, because not only do you deal with things in your own personal life, in your family, but you're also dealing with multiple other things going on in other people's lives. And there's times where that can actually have an effect. And I really felt today, I'm just going to call some certain people out, and I'm just going to really pray for a real refreshing. I really believe that the Holy Spirit wants to do something in your life, whatever you're going through or whatever you may not be going through. And I want you as a church to stand and pray with me for these people. Is that all right? So I'm going to ask Melissa to come out. to Ryan and Michelle, for Megan, for Andy and Steph. Kristen's on her way in. Yep. Richard, as in a pastoral role as a chaplain in the school, and Andy is as well as young adults. Sandy, in the op shop, I'd like you to come, please. Steve, in life care in that pastoral role. So these group of people are not perfect. That's for sure, because I'm up here. This group of people is not perfect, but they're called. And God has put specific gifts upon their life and called them into specific areas of ministry. And they have a heart to just want to see God transform lives. And often in that process, there's a heaviness of heart of the things that they go through because they feel for people. Okay, so I want you to just stand with me today, if you'd all like to stand, and we're just going to pray for this group of people. Pray for them for wisdom when they face situations in dealing with issues and things in people's lives. Pray for vision, for joy, to be able to handle and walk through situations. Pray for protection, for marriages, for their families, and really uphold them and pray for them, because these people often are on the front line and they do an incredible job, and we are so blessed to have each and every one of these people. Some are on staff, some aren't, but they bear the burdens of lots of things, and I really want to encourage you, pray for them and lift them up. So let's pray this morning. Father God, we just thank you for this group of people out the front here, for Steve in his life care role, for Sandy at the op shop, does an incredible job, for Steph and for Andy with young adults and his role at the Christian school, for Melissa, who stands with me incredibly in a senior pastor's role, for Michelle and Ryan, Lord, that do so much incredible work beyond just a music team in this church, Lord, for Kristen, Lord, and Dave, who's away at the moment, Lord, what an amazing job they do with the kids. Lord, for Megan, with youth, Lord, be with her. What a powerful, powerful position she has. Lord, for Richard in the school as a chaplain. Lord, what an amazing privilege and opportunity. And Father, I pray for each and every one of these people. Lord, I pray, Lord, that when they face enemy attacks that come against them, it could be in their health, it could be in their minds, Lord, we break that off them right now in Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray whatever thing that they may be facing right now, Lord, I break it off their lives in the name of Jesus. And I just speak a freshness and a peace, Lord, a refreshing over them right now. Lord, we know that there's some mind battles going on. And Lord, I just pray right now, God, refreshing in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would do a work, Lord, that only you can do. That there's a shift, that there's a change, that there's a freshness in vision. Almighty God, Lord, for situations, Lord, that just seem so overwhelming, Father God, we pray keys to break them off, answers to come in Jesus' name. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. I pray, Lord, for renewed vision. Renewed vision in each of their areas of ministry, Lord. Renewed vision and passion, Lord. Oh, Lord, may they not grow tired or weary doing good. But, Lord, we thank you and we celebrate for the good things that you're doing. And, Lord, we pray for protection over each and every one of them, over their families. Lord, and may we stand upon the promises of God. And may we see you come through for us, Lord. When things look impossible, Lord, you're the God of the impossible. Lord, you can come through. God, you can turn those situations around. God, where it looks like it's hopeless, Lord, we stand on faith. And we pray, Lord, that you're going to come through for us. Hallelujah. Bless you, mighty God. Bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. Now, the band's going to come and we're going to close the service. And what I'd like you to do is if, thanks guys, you can take your seats. If you're facing a real spiritual battle, and it could be in any way, shape or form, it may not even be you, it may just be something that your family or a friend or someone's going through. I just believe this morning, if you want an answer, if you want a breakthrough, just come and stand at the front, and as we sing this last song, just lift your hands and worship God. Just like Paul and Silas did in that prison at midnight. And just pray for a breakthrough in your situation. That the Holy Spirit would come and fight for you and win the battle for you this day. Amen. Alright, so you come. If that's you, you just come and you just worship as we close with this last song. Thanks, Steph.